Anytime you do something smugly, it will always be mostly ugly. Hey, and welcome to Deadpan number 257. I'm your host, Jack Mangan. And, how you doing? This episode is being released right before Halloween and right before election 2012. And that's all you'll hear about Halloween or political stuff in this particular episode. We will do some Earbuddies Forever. I think there's still some that are lingering, but we have one that was long, long overdue that's definitely going to go through this episode, and it will take up some time, so yay. We also have, finally, I guess this is Halloween-related after all, we have an Evil Dead poll. I've been talking about it for months, and it's finally here. And a voicemail, and, I don't know, other stuff. I suppose, actually, now that I think of it, there is a tenuous connection between the Greasy Spoon comments, which will be Greasy Peanuts, and Halloween. Anyway, that's enough intro babble, isn't it? Yes, I agree.
On the Out of the Coffin podcast, we talk about vampires.
Yes, those mythic creatures that lurk in the shadows of our dreams and nightmares.
Still, I wouldn't want to be a teenage girl wearing black sitting outside of a movie theater.
Oh, you would look silly.
Yeah, I would be. We discuss vampires in fiction, folklore, pop culture, subculture, and the vampires who live next door.
We also interview authors and fellow podcasters within the genre.
When some other show, like The X-Files, which had two vampire episodes, that's what that category for
the fact that you know this makes me a little worried.
That's why I host this podcast.
Folks, you just
that's why we're here.
Come out. Come out. Wherever you are. And listen today.
www.outofthecoffin.com.
Hey, this is Dubshack from the Farpoint Recap, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. And I'm not just saying that because I have an unhealthy obsession with Jack Mangan. Or his rock hard abs of steel.
Hey Jack and Deadpan World, this is Desert Big G. I'm calling in with my Earbuddies information. So my Earbuddy was J.R. Murdoch. And the song that I chose for him is called Swing Low by Rocco DeLuca and the Burtons. And I chose this song for JR because I try to spread the word of Rocco DeLuca to everybody. He's pretty amazing. He's known for playing the dobro steel guitar and his live show performances. First time I saw Rocco or heard about Rocco was via South by Southwest in 2007. I watched his set on DirecTV. And was just blown away. And since then, anytime he comes to town, or I've even gone out of state to see him play in concert, and I've met him a few times, and he's just phenomenal. He almost had a breakout with the song Colorful, which is completely not anything like the rest of Rocco DeLuca's repertoire. But anyway, so I hope J.R. Murdoch enjoys the song and finds it as amazing as I did and does a little bit of research on his own, and I encourage all of you to seek out Rocco DeLuca as well. He has a new album that's dropping on March 6th, if you guys are interested. All right, Jack Tan is away. Thanks. Bye.
Jack Mangan. Let me start out by saying I am incredibly sorry for taking nearly 10 months to get my ear buddies back to you. My apologies also to Desert Pixie for taking nearly 10 months to respond to your ear buddies email. I am a bad, bad ear buddy, and I apologize. With that, I did listen to the song that Desert Pixie sent me the day that she sent it to me. I intended to respond, but I didn't know what music to send. I had to give it some thought. Then, many months later, I discovered what music to send to Desert Pixie, and I didn't send it. I am a bad, bad ear buddy. Eventually, I listened to the song that Desert Pixie sent to me again. I've listened to it probably 8 or 9 times so far, each time with the intent of recording my ear buddy and sending it off. I am a bad, bad ear buddy. I never did record or send off my ear buddy music. Finally, I have sent off my ear buddy reply to Desert Pixie with a lengthy explanation as to why that was my ear buddy selection. Desert Pixie, I hope it was worth the wait, and again, I am sincerely sorry. On to the selection that Desert Pixie sent to me. Many people know that I grew up in the backwoods of Minnesota. Even more people do not know that I grew up in the backwoods of Minnesota. Regardless, when I saw that the song was Swing Low, my first thought was not, this is going to be something I'm going to enjoy. My first thought was, why is she sending me church music? Because when I grew up, Swing Low was not a song like what Desert Pixie sent to me. It was a song that was sung on church every once in a blue moon. Needless to say, I did give the song a listen because I was curious. I didn't recognize the name of the band, Rocco De Luca and The Burden. So I thought, well, maybe they have an interesting twist on the song. And then came in the twangy and the slide. Like I said, I grew up in the backwoods of Minnesota. I grew up listening to country and western. A lot more country than western. I grew up listening to steel guitar and that slide and that twang. It caught me off guard as I'm thinking, this doesn't sound like the Swing Low that I grew up with. And needless to say, it is not the Swing Low that I grew up with. It is a very enjoyable song by a very enjoyable group, and they obviously have a lot of fun playing this song. It is not, however, something that I listen to on a regular basis. It will probably not make it into my shuffle, but I really did enjoy the song. Enough so that I did listen to it multiple times throughout the year while I was going to be recording my Ear Buddy segment. And I did enjoy it each time, and I did listen through each time rather than just play the start and give it a listen. So I did listen to it multiple times. I did enjoy it. And odds are it probably will eventually end up on my shuffle, whether I like it or not, because the song has been stuck in my head. That intro twang, that intro slide, just love it. It was great. Desert Pixie, I thank you for the selection. I can only hope that, as I said, mine was worth the wait. Once again, thank you, and again, my apologies. If I do the Ear Buddy segment again, which I more than likely will, I guarantee I will not take almost 10 months to respond to my ear buddy the next time. Jack, thank you for the opportunity. Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
Pan.
Do not try and bend the spoon. That's impossible. Instead, only try to realize the truth.
What truth?
There is no spoon.
There is no spoon?
Then you'll see that it is not the spoon that bends. It is only yourself.
All right, we have Greasy Peanuts this week. I said peanuts. And sitting there, holding his blanket and sucking his thumb, Linus Vanamont Pelt says, beautiful. http://www.flickr.com/photo/dcartiersenior/. While she's holding the football, Sinful Lucy Van Pelt says, does anyone else get sad when Jack mentions too gross? And after running up and missing the football and landing on his head, Used Hair Charlie Brown says, I too have it set to record on the DVR. Thanks for letting me know its release was imminent. I thought it got shit canned before it got made. Justa Joe Cool leans against the doghouse and says, you've got it spot on, Teb. Ellipsis. And the money that is spent by all parties involved is obscene. One wonders if perhaps that cash couldn't be put to better use. Woodstock Espy says, and Woodstock SP says, Alabama, shocking. I've been up since 3 a.m. Maui time. Eek, the sun's about to come up. Hi, babes. Peppermint Ed from Texas says, this may be the most surreal string of comments on Deadpan Ellipsis. The World War I Flying Ditto says, I accept my chastisement. The Energizer Sally says, my first straw wars involved hay. Franklin Lopan gives Charlie Brown a high five and says, agreed. I felt they should have done at least a Black Widow / Hawkeye, parentheses maybe Kosovo, parentheses film, instead of crappy Iron Man 2. And the first of the week, Vanna Marcy says, killing my phone battery since 2008, sir.
P.A.S.O. Domine.
Back in February, Desert Pixie sent me her Ear Buddies selection. I listened to it, I enjoyed it, and I tried to think of something that I could send back. Needless to say, I procrastinated for a very long time. It wasn't until June, when I was on vacation in Palm Desert, that I decided upon which music I would send her and why. I had a good selection, and the music was okay, but it wasn't something that just grabbed me and said, yes, I need to share this with somebody else. In Palm Springs, they closed down the main street for about 15 blocks every Sunday and have a street fair. We've been there many times, and I've seen other live concerts before, and as we were walking up, I heard music playing that sounded like rock music. But something just wasn't quite right. Was it a violin? Was it a cello? What was it I was hearing? There was some stringed instrument that I didn't recognize. We walked onto the street, and I saw the largest man I have ever seen in my life, wearing a kilt and platform combat boots. This man was a giant. He had to have been at least 7 feet tall, probably without the boots. He was huge, muscular, a big, big man. And I thought, there's no way this guy is possibly playing a guitar. And as I looked, no, he was not playing a guitar. He had a belt on with what looked like a bodiless stringed instrument that he was strumming with a bow. Looking quickly, I realized there were 5 strings. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what instrument that is. If it were a bass or a cello, it should only have 4 strings, not 5. So I was amazed watching this guy play and dance and walk around. This guy, as I said, was a giant with a musical instrument strapped to him that he was playing and the rock music playing behind him. And I'm like, this is unlike anything I have ever seen before. And I was mesmerized. The rest of the party that was with us, about 20 of us in all, were not quite so mesmerized and were ready to move on, thinking that this was just kind of some kind of a spectacle. We wandered off, and we could hear the music in the background, and I kept thinking to myself, I gotta see if this guy has a CD or something. He's obviously not just giving a free concert for the sake of giving a free concert. After buying some other goodies around the market and circling around, getting some delicious sarsaparilla, homemade sarsaparilla, and coming back, the man was gone. But his equipment was still there. All of his stuff, a TV setup with a DVD playing, a huge box full of CDs and DVDs were all sitting there just waiting. And I thought, I need to meet this guy. I need to talk to this person. He came back in a very large black van. And obviously he was prepared to start loading up his equipment and leave. And as he got out, I had to talk to this guy. I had to know what he was all about. He loomed over me, this giant of a man, long blonde hair. As I said, he had to have been at least 7 foot. I'm only 5'9", and this guy towered over me. He was massive. Okay, you get the point. He was a big guy. And he shook my hand, greeted himself. The guy had massive hands. I'm like, how can he play that stringed instrument with such precision, with such large hands? And he was very soft-spoken, very nice guy. None of his songs have lyrics. They're all instrumental music as he plays the cello. And he introduced himself. He said he was working on a show for Las Vegas, and he had some Cirque du Soleil performers, and that was the DVD he had for sale. But he also had CDs for sale, and most of his CDs were original music, and he also had some CDs that were covers of other songs, including some heavy metal songs, pop songs, whatever, that he would play the cello parts over. And just talking to him, his passion for the music, the fact that he created this cello that he wore when he played, and the way he played, his style, as I said, to me, it was fascinating and mesmerizing. And he has a website, lordofthecello.com, and he sells his CDs for $10 a piece. Cheap music and really fun music. And I've used his music for writing, for listening to in my truck, for almost anything. And I decided this was the music I needed to share with Desert Pixie. Unfortunately, as I am a bad ear buddy, it took me a very long time to finally record and send it off. I hope it was worth the wait. Desert Pixie, I hope you enjoy my selection. And Jack, thank you for including me once again in Ear Buddies.
Love it. Deadpan is the way.
Hey, Deadpan, it's Desert Pixie calling in with my the song that was sent to me from my Ear Buddy. Not my Ear Buddy forever, because that was the Energizer Bunny. This is like we go way back. We're going way back to like early 2012 when I was paired up with J.R. Murdoch. So I've received his Ear Buddy songs and information about, you know, the selection he sent me. And I'm grateful that I received it. He sent me two songs from an artist named Marston, who goes by Lord of the Cello. And what I find fascinating about this this Ear Buddy segment that he sent me was how excited J.R. Murdoch was to tell me the story about Marston, a.k.a. Lord of the Cello. So J.R. Murdoch was vacationing in Palm Springs and with his family, and he came across a street fair and this street performer. And he describes this street performer as the tallest, most giant man he'd ever seen in his life, who was wearing a kilt, some combat boots, and had crazy blonde hair, and the cello that he was sporting was a cello bow in one hand and had an electric bodiless cello strapped to his body. And when I read that, the first thing that came to my mind was Poindexter from Revenge of the Nerds. I'm not sure why, but it did. So immediately when I was going to listen to the song, I thought I would hear like an electronic version of a cello. So the first song that he sent me is called Joyful Procession. And you know, it sounds very orchestral. There's a lot of additional instruments in the background, minus the cello. So, you know, I'm curious to know from J.R. Murdoch kind of what his experience was at that street fair, if all that that he was able to hear was just the raw cello and nothing else in the background, or if that performer, Marston, wearing the kilt and the combat boots and the crazy blonde hair, also had accompanying either musicians or like a track sound in the background that was able to simulate the rest of these songs. So that would be, you know, that thought is kind of still lingering in my mind about it. But listening to the song, it's about a 4.5 minute song, and it's, you know, it's very electronic, and there's just a lot going on, a lot of instruments going on in the background. And so I didn't find that the cello was the, you know, primary focus of the song. And Mr. Jack Mangan's here, listened to the song with me. He points out that it sounds very similar to a very famous song called something that I know as the Wedding Procession Song, but I can't think of the name of it at the moment, and he's going to look it up for me right now. But, you know, this would be kind of a fun alternative to the traditional wedding march. It's called Pachelbel's Canon in D. Did I say that right? Anyway, you get the gist. So I'm very grateful that J.R. Murdoch sent me some music. And again, you know, what I'm taking away from this particular Ear Buddy segment is just the excitement and, you know, enjoying how much J.R. loved, you know, the whole experience of finding this artist and how he just stumbled upon the artist and the conversation he had, you know, and he became very passionate about it and bought the gentleman's music. So in that regards, I'm grateful, and I thank JR for sharing that with me. And until next time, deadpan is the motherfucking way.
This is Brad P. from NJ and the Whole Lot of Nonsense podcast. Deadpan is the motherfucking way, biatch. Oh, sorry, that wasn't deadpan. Deadpan is the motherfucking way, biatch. That deadpan? Thanks.
All right, so the Evil Dead reboot is a real thing, actually. You can actually catch the trailer out there now. It's not Evil Dead 4, it's an Evil Dead reboot. Based, of course, on Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. And good folks that we are around Deadpan, we want to come together and find ways to prevent the Evil Dead reboot's inevitable suckage. So there's a SurveyMonkey poll out there, but I'll read off your choices to you right here on the podcast, and then the link will be in the show notes, and you can go and vote. And hopefully, you know, we can do our part to make Evil Dead reboot not terrible. So first, there in the Evil Dead reboot, there needs to be a chainsaw sword fight with Inigo Montoya, Darth Maul, the Highlander, I guess choose your pick which one, Leatherface, Captain Hook, Thing from the Addams Family, or Hikaru Sulu. Instead of blood, we'll have the cabin walls filled with this: Mountain Dew, butter, Chicken McNuggets, the slime from Ghostbusters 2, Bud Light, or don't even say it, that's gross. The basic storyline of the film. To defend the cabin in the woods from the Evil Dead, Ash has to plant a garden full of zombie-fighting vegetables and flowers in the yard. To defend the cabin in the woods from the Evil Dead, Ash has to slingshot a bunch of weird, angry birds at the invading Evil Dead. The whole thing takes place at S-Mart on Black Friday. The whole thing takes place in the Great Green Room from Goodnight Moon. The island of Manhattan has become a prison, and Ash has to go in and rescue the president from the clutches of a brutal crime lord known as the Duke. Ash is in a nursing home, where he teams up with a black JFK to save the world from an evil undead mummy. It turns out that Ash's midichlorians are off the charts, so an older teenage actor with limited talent and an entirely different hair color will portray him in the next film as he wrestles with his inevitable fall to the dark side. Ash's love interest should be Diablo Cody, Bridget Fonda, his possessed hand, Laura Palmer, Snooki, or Hikaru Sulu. The new classic catchphrase from this film should be, "Time to make the donuts, baby. You're gonna need a bigger boat. I like big butts and I cannot lie. Gravy, you have something in your teeth. Or, I greatly enjoy the vocal stylings of Phil Collins. All right, two more. The new attachment options for his chainsaw / bionic hand need to be an iPhone, a supermarket price gun, a chin, a Pez dispenser, a lightsaber, or a spatula. Finally, better ideas for the Evil Dead reboot. Don't make the Evil Dead reboot. Adapt a film version of Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. Make Bubba Hotep 2. Do a proper Venom vs. Spider-Man movie. Or, finally, don't hire some younger actor as the lead. Keep Bruce Campbell as Ash.
Hey, what's up? This is John Butchergrass from ESPN Sports Center. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
Hello, Deadpan. Hello, Jack. This is Sinful. I'm calling from the road, and I want to thank you all for keeping me company in little Central Kansas. And I've been enjoying getting caught up on all the dead that I've been behind on. Have a great day, Panites, or if you want to be called Panties, I will talk to you later. Bye from Sinful.
All right, in the immortal words of Peter Steele, Happy Halloween, baby. I'd love more Ear Buddies volunteers, so email me, sphericaljackm@gmail.com or jack@jackmangan.com. If you still owe an Ear Buddies reaction and or introduction, then send that shit in. And also feel free to call in, email, you know, record stuff, email it to me, or call in the voicemail line. It's 480-788-JMDP, 480-788-5637. As we hyperdrive into the final 30 Deadpan episodes. Until it gets too gross. Alright, we're closing out with music. I'm not coming back after the music. This is a brand new mashup. Mashed by yours truly. Called Rabbit Knees. Good night, dog germs.
We'll be right back.